Welcome to episode 3 of the RR Schools podcast. I'm Greg Murphy. Today, we will travel to West Shore Career Tech and sit down with Mr. Bill Damasio, the coordinator of the West Shore program, and then make our way to Rocky River High School and visit with the cast of this year's fall play, Almost Maine. Our first guest today is Mr. Bill Damasio, the West Shore Career Tech coordinator. Mr. Damasio, thanks for taking the time to join me today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start out, what exactly is the West Shore Career Tech program?
Well, West Shore is comprised of 13 workforce development programs, and I don't want that word to scare you off, workforce development, because they are highly technical programs, and they do all lead towards college and or technical training beyond high school. So we have 13 of those programs that students can kind of specialize or explore careers in high school. And then we also offer electives through our family consumer science and technology and business classes as well. And we touch about 937 students in those electives. In those programs, we touch about 436 students.
And how long have you been associated with the West Shore program? And in addition, how long has Rocky River also been associated with it?
That's a great question. I came on board with Lakewood City Schools in 2012 as a house principal, and then in 2015, I became the coordinator for West Shore Career Tech. West Shore will celebrate its 50th anniversary next school year, and as far as I know, Rocky River's been with us since the beginning, but you're going to make me do some homework now, and I'm going to have to check that out.
We'll have to do some research.
So our partners are Rocky River, Bay Village, and Westlake, along with Lakewood City Schools. They all feed into those 13 programs and or electives here at Lakewood High School.
How do you go about reaching out to Rocky River students? Do you get them kind of involved early on in their middle school years to kind of get them that introduction as they move on to high school? What's the process there?
We do. We go to Rocky River Middle School and we do presentations there to all eighth graders. We started doing that about a year and a half ago. We're hoping to see a little bump from that interest, and we've also brought them over and done tours with all those middle schoolers as well. But beyond that, obviously in this day and age, we're very active in social media, and so we try to reach out to folks that way, and we follow the river feeds, and we try to interact with those as well. But starting in the 10th grade year, we go out and do an assembly. I present to the 10th graders at Rocky River High School, and then I bring all of my programs out for a showcase. And the students have a chance to interact with those teachers that teach those programs and kind of shop around and ask questions. Then beyond that, once a student shows an interest in career tech, we invite them over for a visit, which we call a hands-on day. And they pick two, maybe three programs. They come over for a morning and they spend some more intense time with those programs. And then beyond that, we let them make a decision if they're going to come or not. And then we follow up that with an orientation in May, right before the students come. We want to make that connection to them before we get to summer and connect them to the program. So that's kind of our process of enrollment. We're also very actively involved with our counselors at the home schools, too.
And what are some of the examples of the program you offer? And do you see one of the programs where you have a larger group of students that are more interested in that, or is it kind of more well-rounded, more dispersed with students?
It ebbs and flows. It does ebb and flow. Right now, for example, my construction trades is very full. Our Cisco networking with cybersecurity is very full right now, as is media art and design. So that does ebb and flow based on the interests of the students a little bit. Those are three examples of programs right there that are pretty full right now. But it is competitive to get in. You know, you do apply and put an application online. And then the teachers typically reach out and interview you and talk to you. And there's three questions on the interviews that you do to kind of show your career interests. The key, I would say, for students is and families trying to decide if West Shore is right for them is that you can explore in high school at no cost what it is you may want to do, or you may find out what you don't want to do in high school. That career exploration, I think, is really the decision you need to make before you choose a college. What is the career you want? Now choose the college or technical program you want to go into to get that additional education. Everybody has to be educated beyond high school, what's that going to look like? 2-year, 4-year college, or some kind of technical training, or some kind of credential or certificate?
Do you have any new programs that you're looking at adding in the near future for students?
Well, we just added sports and exercise science. We brought in Mr. Dan Popio as the instructor. He's a certified strength and conditioning coach. He's worked for T3, Mount Union, and he's got a sports background. He played baseball for Mercyhurst, so we're really excited about that program. That's up and running this year. It's its first year, and we're excited about the energy he's bringing to that. In addition to that, right now we're looking at a coding, maybe software development program. We know that that's uber in high demand in our area, and we're looking at bringing that on board potentially in the near future and have an upcoming meeting actually on that on November 13th.
You also have a Ranger Cafe at West Shore. Talk about what that entails. I assume that's in the culinary arts field. And is that open to anybody to come and visit?
We do. It is part of culinary arts program. And it is open to the public. We recommend that you make a reservation if you're going to come. It's open Tuesdays and Wednesdays from noon until about 1:30. And all we ask is that you understand that these students are in training. And as the year goes on, they get better and better. But I will put the Ranger Cafe up against any restaurant in the area. And I think if you come out to try it, you'll be delightfully surprised. And I really recommend that crispy chicken sandwich they're having this year. It's wonderful. And some of the desserts, the espresso cheesecake is out of this world.
All right, well, I'm going to call and make my reservation and come out and try that soon.
You're welcome anytime.
Thank you. Upon graduation, you kind of touched on this, but what route do students take? I think you mentioned some go to 2-year colleges, some go to 4-year colleges, some just go right into the workforce. Expand on that a little bit about what route students go.
Well, it really depends on the student. And what I like about Career Tech is that gives students multiple ways to get educated. In the past, we maybe thought of career tech for my generation or generations before us, maybe for those kids that weren't going to college. Every one of our programs has college credit attached to it. That's by law. And that varies in degree, but there is college credit associated with every program that's available to students. It's not guaranteed. You have to meet certain requirements, obviously. But, you know, 96.9 of our students go on to college, military, or some other kind of training. 96.2 of our students graduate in 4 years. Those beat the norms. So we're very proud of that. And we feel like Career Tech gives students a focus in high school. We're not asking anybody to get, make a permanent decision in high school, but you get a chance to explore what you might want to do. As I said before, maybe you might confirm what you don't want to do. And you just saved yourself $25,000 a year minimum in career exploration in college. So really, I think the important thing is it's what you do when you get here, just like it is for any kind of training. If you put yourself into this and really commit yourself to this and take high-end courses back at your home school, you can really give yourself a competitive advantage. You can make yourself very well-rounded. Students have gotten very creative with what they do here. We've had engineering students go into our construction program. I'm thinking of one student in the past that went on to civil engineering at UC. We've had students that want to be a nutritionist come into our culinary program. I've had somebody that wanted to go into cosmetology. We don't offer that program, but they chose business management to get the computer skills and learn the front end and do their placement in their senior year in a salon. So it's really what you do when you get here with the experience, just like it will be when you go on to get educated beyond high school.
And you mentioned there are opportunities to earn college credit. What are some of the schools that can transfer to?
We have agreements. There are some statewide agreements. If a school has a program there, then you can. Those are guaranteed at schools. Those are called, and I don't want to bore you with this, but CT2 or CTAG credits. Those are statewide agreements if that state school has a program there. It's aligned to one of ours. And then we have what we call bilateral agreements. Those are kind of agreements that we've forged with local universities. We have them with Tri-C, the University of Akron, and Kent State. And so I'll give you an example here of automotive technology. A statewide agreement, there's 2 credit hours available. It's not a lot, okay? With Tri-C, we have 3 credit hours available. With the University of Akron, we have 30 credit hours available. And we don't have any with Kent State because they don't have a program. So it varies on where you want to go, and that's just one example I gave you there.
Last thing I want to ask you about is the Career Passport Assembly that you have at the end of the year. Just kind of explain what that is and kind of the celebration of the students who are kind of graduating from the programs.
Well, it's like our culminating event for the year. A lot of the students think of it as a graduation, but they haven't graduated yet. But it's our culminating ceremony where we celebrate the accomplishments of our students and our partners. It really ultimately takes a village to run Career Tech. We rely on a lot of business and community partnerships and that experience that we give students in high school, the hands-on learning and the people that we bring in here to expose them to that career readiness takes a lot of people. So we kind of celebrate that at the end of the year and the accomplishments of our students. One of the highlights for me is we have a Career Tech Student of the Year that we select, and they write an essay entitled What Career Tech Means to Me. And we've gotten some really interesting things out of that essay that I couldn't have seen coming. Last year, for example, the young lady that graduated with us last year and received that award earned 60-some college credits before she left here. She's somewhat of a college credit unicorn. That's not the norm, but she was really driven and focused. And she identified that West Shore, at the beginning of it, West Shore has we in it. So, you know, and it's something I never thought of before. And it really does take we to make this happen with our partners, with our community partners. It took a student to show the adults the we in West Shore. So I thought that was like one aspect of it I really enjoyed. And so every year there's something different that comes out of that celebration, and I really enjoy it.
Great stuff, Mr. DiMascio. I appreciate you joining me. We'll try to hook up later on in the year, maybe get a few of the Rocky River students who are in your program on as well to kind of get their journey and see what they've been doing throughout the course of the year.
Absolutely. I'd love to share their stories, and we have some great students here from Rocky River.
Well, appreciate all you do for our students, and thank you for taking the time to join me today.
Thank you. Have a good morning.
When we come back, we'll sit down with the cast of this year's fall play at Rocky River High School for a preview of Almost Maine. Welcome back to the RR Schools Podcast. I'm Greg Murphy. I'm now joined by cast members of this year's Rocky River High School fall play, Almost Maine. Thank you everyone for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Let's start out. Let's go around the room. Give me your name and your description of who you are playing in the play this year.
Hi, my name is Kate Davis, and I am playing Glory and Gale. Glory is a hiker who is looking for the Northern Lights up in Northern Maine, and Gale is a townie with a boyfriend named Lendl.
Hi, I'm Madeline Golia. I'm playing Marvelin and Rhonda. Marvelin is, I'd say, just a normal girl going throughout her life with maybe a little bit more baggage than normal people. And Rhonda is a snowmobiler who keeps a lot of feelings to herself.
Hi, I'm Grace. I play Shelly, and Shelly's a country gal who works in a mill, and in her free time, she likes sitting in fields with her friends.
Hi, my name's Maggie Sweeney. I play Dina, and I'm also a country gal, and it's kind of our story, Shelly and I's. It's kind of like an unfolding of our friendship, if you will, and it's just kind of us sitting around and talking to each other.
Hi, I'm Chloe Hansen. I play Jeanette and also Hope. Jeanette is a young girl who has just found her first love. And then Hope is coming back to kind of like tie up some loose ends back to Almost.
Hi, my name is Anthony Corrick, and I play two characters. I play Steve and I play Pete. And Pete has also found his first love, but he's still learning how to talk to girls and what love is. And Steve is just trying to find out what pain is, and he finds that through a girl in the play.
Hi, I'm Noah Lewis, and I play Jimmy. And Jimmy is a man looking to rekindle an old love in a very self-unaware and awkward attempt.
Wonderful. I noticed some of you mentioned two roles. How difficult has that been, and how do you balance that kind of during rehearsals to make sure you're in that correct role?
I know something we talked about when we started rehearsals was making sure you're differentiating between your two characters, because you don't want to go on and read your lines for one the same as you're reading for the other, because you look the same, essentially, but you want to make sure that the audience understands that you're playing two separate people, it's two separate stories, and it kind of shows your versatility as well, being able to transfer from one person to a completely different character. So you definitely had to work a lot on character differentiation and the way you present your lines, present yourself throughout the rehearsal process.
To work on it, we did a lot of partner work where it was just us and the other, like, one person and the other person in their scene, to really, like, grasp how that character would react in each scene and in each situation.
Give me a short description of the play Almost Maine. How would you describe it to somebody?
I think it's nine vignettes about, like, different situations regarding love, and it really explains them all in, like, a lovely way, and it's, some of it is bittersweet, but for the most part, it's just about, like, normal people and their real situations.
I think that Almost Maine is, it kind of captures the charm of a small town and the relationships people hold in it, and I think it holds a really great light to, I guess, like, the romantic side of relationships, and it kind of gives off the impression that love can come exactly when you expect it and exactly when you won't expect it.
And Anthony, what do you, Almost Maine, there's not really a town or a city in Maine called Almost, it's a mythical. How would you describe this fictional town?
It's a pretty, like, basic rural town. They are just simple people, and they have, like, some stuff, but everything there is simple and everybody knows each other. It's like what you picture a small town being, and it just shows, like, throughout each little scene how love is the most powerful force in the world, and, like, that's really captured in each scene, and I just think that's awesome.
Maggie, they mentioned that there's nine different scenes, and they all take place over a 10-minute time frame. I think it's 8:50 p.m. to 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. How are the stories, though, kind of interconnected and intertwined throughout the course of the play?
They're all just, like, these love stories that almost anyone can relate to, at least one of them, which I think is what's so beautiful about it. And they all have something that is, like, a turning point of it, and I'm not going to give that away because you got to come see it to see those parts. But I think it's so beautiful that you can kind of imagine each scene existing, like, at the same time, and it just makes it so much more powerful when you think about it, like, after you see it or, like, while you're watching it.
And for anyone who's maybe either seen the production or done some research online about it, or gone on YouTube and watched some of the different scenes and stuff, what can you take from that experience to bring on stage for your performance?
I feel like you can always draw something, no matter what show it is, what circumstance, from other people's performances. Everything that you see is a way to learn and grow. From researching the show specifically, like, you can find a lot of it on YouTube, from other schools. It's really cool to see how other students took their character or took your character that you're playing and how they presented it versus, like, if you thought to do it a specific way. But it kind of helps you to develop how you want to present your character, and it also helps you to get a feel for the story as well before going into rehearsals.
Chloe, for someone who comes to the play, what would you tell them kind of the meaning of this play is? What should they walk away with? How should they walk away feeling after seeing the play?
I think that they should walk away feeling very empowered, because each scene is, like, their own, like, little story, and they impact everybody in a different way, and that there's a big part in each scene that you can really relate to, no matter what it is. Even if you haven't, like, felt that love that those people have, you can always connect with the things that the characters are bringing to you.
One of my last questions, I want to go around the room. You guys are all on stage in the play, but there's a bunch of people behind the scenes, the stage crew, the lighting, sound, set, costumes, tech crew, tons of different people who are also part of this. I just want to go around briefly, what do they bring to the production, and how important are they to putting this on?
Oh, we love our stage crew. they, like, nothing could happen. Even if we were missing one link, a show couldn't happen. And they're just some awesome people. They put in so much hard work into the sets, into the costumes, and we really appreciate everything that they do.
Oh, yeah. All of the different crews are definitely the backbone of the show. Without them, like Kate said, I don't know if we could, like, pull anything close to what we do off at all. They're really just, like, holding us all together.
Yeah, I agree with Kate and what Maddie said, but I also have to mention that our backdrop is what adds to the scenes and what adds a little magical effect to every scene and every plot.
Like what they were saying, like, what you see in the audience is just the tip of the iceberg of, like, what it all is, and so none of this could exist without them, because, like, every little detail that you see from us is, like, is someone else's work, and I think that's what's so cool about live theater.
The people in the crew stay late at nights, and they come in on weekends just to do all of those things that are behind the scenes that they know that many people won't actually see them on the stage, and I think that's so beautiful because they work so hard and they deserve so much credit, and they really do, like, tie us all together, and we have a great stage manager this year.
And the head of all the madness, all the technical madness, Mr. Sandy, he's really good. He's put together, like, this group of kids, and he really just gives them an opportunity to just work on the set or do, like, painting or building the set, and he really enjoys doing that, and you can see how much he enjoys doing it. He's here 7 days a week, every day. I can't think of a day he's not here, and he's put a great group of kids together.
Yeah, I can't even express how grateful I am to have the stage crew. It's really... It's crazy, in a good way, how I can come in every single practice or even just any time of the day after school, and I'll see the same people every day working really, really diligently. And the work that they've put in and the progress they've made, they're pretty much, without them, this play couldn't be what it is. And I can't even express how much I appreciate that.
And there's two chances to see this play, November 22nd and 23rd, 7 o'clock both nights. And people can purchase tickets on the website, rcs.org, or at the gate. All seats are reserved. November 22nd, 23rd, again, 7 p.m. both nights. The final question I have, how have rehearsals been going? What's kind of been the timeline? When did you guys start with all this leading up to the play, and how have things been going so far?
Rehearsals... have been very progressive, the progress we make every time, seeing other cast members go over lines. One day, like, I'll have them, one of us, like, stumbling over our lines. The next day, they have, like, a whole scene memorized. It's been really inspiring to be with the other crew and cast and seeing all the progress they've been making. And I think we all kind of, as time goes on, we kind of push each other to do better, and it's been a lot of fun.
Since they did start in about mid-September, they have been, like, going on for a long time. We did a lot of individual scene work at the beginning, and then it progressed to having, like, full acts done, and then now we're running, like, the full show together. But it's just been really, like, amazing seeing everybody, like, progress. And I've got to know everybody in the cast so much better and really got to know my scene partners better, and I'm really happy about that.
This has been great. I appreciate all you guys taking the time to join me before your rehearsal today. I encourage everyone to come out and see this wonderful production. The students have been working very hard, and they're ready to put this show on November 22nd and 23rd, 7 p.m. in the high school auditorium. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
A reminder, you can find every episode of the RR Schools podcast on the district website, rrcs.org, or on SoundCloud. To stay up to date with the latest news of the Rocky River City School District, please visit the district website or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at RR City Schools.